1 Corinthians chapter 8. We are moving right along. This is, I believe, the perfect halfway mark of the book. And we're getting to a point where Paul's complete thoughts are like whole chapters, so we're moving pretty quick. Oh boy. Oh boy. For donuts?
Yep.
Waffles.
Okay, I feel like there's a waffle majority.
Yes,
there's a waffling majority.
We got a red eye on the
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Okay. Shh, don't breathe. You'll interfere. Don't breathe. Man, I've been doing that.
Hey, man, that sound booth, that counts for something.
Last week was the first time I ever threw it in the sound booth. Usually I get it at least toward the white wall.
Yeah, that
but I'm like, I'm off my tee. I'm off of my tee. Okay, let's all stand for 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read the whole chapter. It's just 13 verses, and it's all about one thing, so it won't be too rough. Okay, starting in verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, the one is known by him. Or this one is known by him. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. But even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some with consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing offered to an idol, and in their conscience, being weak, is defiled. But food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse. But beware, lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish, or for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to come together this morning and to be able to study your word, to be able to unite under our common ground as Christians and devote ourselves completely to you. We pray that you would fill us with your spirit to receive all that you have for us. Give us hearts that are ready to take in whatever we will learn, and help us to apply it to our lives, to really practice it in this coming week and also as we go on from here. Please silence our hearts, we pray, and let us be fully focused on you. We give you this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat, and I'm going to sit as well, if that's okay. So, today, Paul is bringing us back to the topic of liberties. And if you remember, two weeks ago, we started looking at liberties. But let me refresh your memory. We started this at the end of chapter 6, and that was a couple weeks ago. And a liberty, by definition, is a Christian's freedom to engage in activities that are not directly forbidden in the Bible. So we know in the Bible, there's black and white areas where it's like, definitely do this and definitely don't do this. But then there's parts of the Bible where it's like, it just doesn't say if you should or you shouldn't. Or it says, maybe if this happens in one situation, maybe you should or you should not. And so a liberty is where we have that freedom in Christ to practice certain things. But there are things that require something to be qualified as a liberty. And that we looked at a couple weeks ago is, one, it has to be to a person's benefit. If a liberty is just ruining your life, like it's just destroying you as a human being, then it's not your liberty. It's not a benefit to you. If a liberty has power over a Christian, then it's not a liberty. So if they're addicted to it, or if it has control over them, they're worshiping it, they're idolizing it, then that is not a liberty to them. And then, lastly, you have to obey your parents. So if your parents say you can't engage in a certain liberty that maybe other Christians can, then for you, it's not a liberty, and it's because if you're doing that liberty, you're disobeying your parents, and it's making you sin, which is having power over you, and it's not a benefit to you. So if it's against your parents' commands, then it's not a liberty. And he'll be talking again about liberties for the next couple of chapters. He's going to go deeper than just what is a liberty, like we looked at a couple of weeks ago. And he's going to look at more of how to use liberties and then how to use them wisely. So today, the issue that Paul addresses about liberties is stumbling blocks. Bam! Do you guys know that video game? Yes. Okay. Yeah, it is Mario. I just needed to make sure because my mom saw it, and she was like, oh, Alex the Kid. And I was like, what? What is that? And she said it was some video game. Do any of you know what that is, Alex the Kid? The video game? Yeah. You know, Heather knows what it is. Have you played it?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
Yes.
Compared to Mario?
No.
Okay. Ha ha, knew it. But to explain what a stumbling block is, what I gotta do is I gotta give you the backstory. I gotta show you what's going on in the Church of Corinth right now. So at this time, Greek and Roman cities, as you probably know, idolatry was a prominent sin among them. And idolatry back then was not what we commonly think of today, because today we'll think of like idolizing a band, like, oh, they're so good, I'm just obsessed, or a famous person, or something that we do, like school, music, sports. These are things that we idolize in our culture today. And it's not like we bow down before it. We just put it before God. It takes that place. And it's still sin, and it's still an equal consequence, but it's different. It had a totally different role in their society. And it was the main thing. That was the thing that people were doing. They were idolizing. So like, some people today, like, they go to clubs and parties. Back then, they were going to temples and worshiping idols, which is funny to think of, but it's a cultural thing. So they were like full-on idolatry worshipers of false gods. And a common way that they would worship idols is they would offer meat to the false god on a fiery altar. And the way they would do it is they'd bring like meat, so they'd bring probably an animal, and one third of that meat would go onto the altar and it would be offered to the idol. So one third would go straight to the idol and be offered to the false god in that way. The other third would be brought back to the family and they would get to keep it, they'd cook it, feed themselves, live on it, whatever. And then the last third would go to the priest who offered the altar to the idol. But if that priest did not want the meat, because as you could imagine, that guy was getting a whole lot of meat because people were offering a whole lot of meat to the idols. If he didn't want the meat, if he had enough meat in his like meat storage, he would be able to sell that meat in the temple market for a really discounted price. And because at that time, just as we are today, people loved a good bargain, so some of the Christians in Corinth understood that these idols are not real. They're not real gods. They're false gods. And offering meat to them, meat that has been offered to them, is no different from meat that has been offered to nothing. And so because they have this knowledge, they would buy that discounted meat that was really cheap and still really good, and that was also offered to idols. They would take it home, cook it up, and eat it with no guilt whatsoever. And it was totally okay, because for them it was a liberty. But other Christians who came out of a lifestyle of idolatry, like that was what they did before they became a part of the church in Corinth, they did not have that liberty to eat the meat that was offered to idols. Maybe it was because it reminded them of their past, or maybe it was because when they did it, they felt like they were sinning, like they were partaking of that meat offered to the idol, and they didn't have that knowledge that these idols are fake, that they have no reality on planet Earth. And so they'd see mature Christians, because they had that knowledge, mature Christians eating that meat, and they would be tempted to eat the meat as well. Or they would be offended. They would just be like, what are you doing eating meat that was offered to an idol? And they were stumbled. And that is what a stumbling block is. A stumbling block is a liberty that one Christian has that offends another Christian or tempts another Christian to sin. And as Christians, we do not want any of our liberties that we have to become stumbling blocks to other Christians. So today, what we're going to look at is three simple steps to avoid stumbling blocks, to avoid our liberties becoming stumbling blocks in the lives of other Christians. And those 3 points will be: one, know your liberties. I said that with like a Canadian accent. Know your liberties. Consider other Christians. Consider other Christians. And then third and finally, adjust your liberties. And we're going to look at these points in full detail. Full living color. Detail. HD definition. HD definition. That was a joke, because HD means high definition. Okay, first point, know your liberties. The first thing that we see is that Christians need to know their liberties. Verse 4 says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. So this might seem really obvious, but Christians need to be aware of their liberties. A lot of Christians, especially younger Christians, Christians who were just recently converted, or young Christians that grew up in Christianity, they simply don't know what their liberties are because they haven't taken the time to think about it. Like, that's it. I know that that doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is, because we need to know our liberties. So they think that because they've like been able to watch PG-13 movies for their whole lives and they grew up with that liberty, their parents let them do it, they assume that like every Christian can watch PG-13 movies, and because they were raised like that, they don't even think, oh, watching PG-13 movies is a liberty that I have. For some people, watching movies is a liberty that they have, because others don't have that liberty. If you've been a Bieber fan, Justin Bieber, from the beginning, from the YouTube startup, you may not realize that listening to someone with such a good voice, even Justin Bieber, is a liberty that you have. And this can apply to everything. Video games, that was a joke, Justin Bieber, but I don't have Bieber fever, just in case you're wondering. Clothing, books, social media, that is a liberty as well. Other internet use, just internet use in general is a liberty. And it goes on and on. There's more and more. Piercings in the future, tattoos, when you get older, alcohol. Can you drink it? Can you not? It's a liberty. What about this? What about that? And so, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And we as Christians have to be able to kind of take a step out of our shoes, if you know what I mean. Like, take a step outside of your life and look in and see what your liberties are. Even if it's something you've been doing from the beginning. Like, I've always been able to watch cartoons, but you have to realize that's a liberty. I've always been able to listen to this band, even though they're not a Christian, but there's nothing bad about them. It's a liberty. Even if you're okay with listening to music that is inappropriate, it doesn't stumble you, it doesn't cause you to sin, or it doesn't tempt you, or if you're okay with watching certain movies, you got to realize it's a liberty. Even if you don't feel like, you're not like, oh, this is a big deal, I'm like, I have huge liberties, it's still a liberty. Even if you don't have that, some people think that to have a liberty, you have to have that feeling like, this is a liberty and it's a big deal. No, liberties can be perfectly normal, but we have to identify them as liberties. So you have to first know that it's a liberty. Know your liberties, know what they are. And then also it's wise to know what's not your liberties. And that kind of just follows up with it. So first you need to know, but it doesn't stop there. You need to consider other Christians. That's our second point. Consider other Christians. Verse 7 says, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. For some, with consciousness of the idol, until now, eat it as a thing offered to an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Now, verse 7 is basically a fancy way of saying that just because you have this liberty does not mean that all other Christians in the world have that same liberty. It doesn't even mean that your closest friends who are Christians have that same liberty. And this can be for different reasons. Maybe they don't have the liberty because their parents say they can't. So for them, they'd be disobeying their parents, so it's not a liberty for them. Maybe they don't have the liberty because before they were a Christian, or even while they were a Christian, they used to be addicted to that thing, or it became an idol in their life and they idolized it. And so even just hearing it or seeing it in a movie, they're reminded of their sin, or they're tempted to sin, or they're offended because you're doing it, and they see it as something that is addicting. They see it as something that's going to enslave you. And for you, it may not, but for them, that's what they see because of the hold that it had on them and their past. And Paul tells us in verses 9 through 10 that we need to be considerate of what the Christians around us struggle with and what might stumble them. So an example of this: when I was younger, there was a cartoon that I loved, and it wasn't a bad cartoon at all. It was, like, from my perspective, it was a very appropriate cartoon. He had, like, respectful parents, but it was just, like, the humor in it was kind of witty, and there were, like, people in it that did stupid things, but nothing inappropriate. And I used to watch this cartoon a lot. I loved that cartoon, and this sounds like a joke, but I'm serious. I'm very serious about this. I'm so serious about this cartoon. Huh?
What cartoon was it?
I'm not going to tell you what cartoon it was. It's private. You're getting into my personal life now. But I watched it a lot. And growing up, I never for a second thought that other people around me wouldn't have that liberty until I think I got in junior high. And I was really excited about the cartoon. I was talking to people about it. And they were like, oh, I'm not even allowed to watch that. And I was like, what? What? I was so shocked. I was like, you can't watch my favorite cartoon? And then I found out that more people weren't allowed to watch it, and other people weren't allowed to watch it. And it wasn't because it was inappropriate. It was just their parents didn't want them watching cartoons that were a huge waste of time, which for me, I was like, it's not a waste of time. It's so good. But that's the view that their parents had. And so I had to understand that even though to me that cartoon was like no big deal, no big deal at all, to them it wasn't a liberty that they had. And it was because they would have been in disobedience to their parents. So what this means to us, considering other believers, is we need to listen. We need to listen to other Christians. And that sounds so obvious. It's like, yes, naturally we listen to everything. We're human beings with ears. But as I've grown and kind of learned more about myself and about other people as well, I've realized that listening to someone is not our natural instinct. Yes, we will hear things, but giving someone our full attention and actually remembering what they say to us and putting it in our mind and applying it is not something that we naturally do. We have to work at it. You know, in school, if you just sit there and turn your mind off, you cannot listen to what your teacher is saying and go a whole day without learning anything. And then you have to, like, actually read the books and teach yourself later on. I know how that is. It's rough. So listening is not our natural instinct. But as Christians, we need to listen to other Christians because we need to know. We need to know what they might struggle with or what they aren't allowed to engage in because of their parents' commands. But we don't only need to listen to it. We need to respect it. We need to go a step further to respect it, to remember it, and to not just ignore it, not just brush it off, not just act like it's not a big deal, but to actually respect things that might cause them to sin or that might stumble them, that might offend them if they see other Christians doing it. We don't just listen, but we need to respect it. We need to put it in our mind and honor that boundary that they have in their lives. And then finally, Paul would say that we need to adjust our liberties. So it's not just looking at them and saying, oh, that's totally crazy that you can't watch that, or that's totally crazy that you can't get your ears pierced, or that you can't wear this, or you can't watch that, or listen to that. But Paul says, you need to adjust your liberties for the Christians that are around you. In verse 12, he says, but when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. So not only are we wronging our brethren, but we're wronging Jesus Christ when we put a stumbling block in front of another Christian. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, in verse 13, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Once we are aware, once we have considered the Christians around us and are aware of the things that can cause them to stumble, Paul tells us we need to make adjustments to the liberties that are in our lives. And by adjustment, what I mean is that we must do whatever is necessary to keep our liberties from causing other Christians around us to sin. He says that if we are stumbling other Christians with our liberties, then we are sinning. That is the matter of it. It's not a gray area. If your liberty is causing another Christian to be offended or to be stumbled and to tempt them to sin, then you are sinning by causing them to be tempted or to stumble or to be offended or to sin. So there's a couple ways that we can adjust our liberties. And the first is, do not flaunt your liberties. This is so general, but it's so often missed. We cannot flaunt our liberties. And I'll explain what I mean. There are Christians who are flat out liberty flaunters. I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase, but a liberty flaunter, it's someone who like rolls into church and they're like, dude, I just watched this movie last night. And like, maybe it's totally an inappropriate movie, or maybe it's just something that they know a lot of Christians wouldn't watch it because there's something questionable about it. And they're like, dude, I just watched this movie. My parents let me. And most of the people there either aren't allowed to watch it or they wouldn't watch it because they don't have that liberty. And they are just flaunting it. Or they're like, They're like, we see this with tattoos. People will often get tattoos in like huge obvious spots, and they're around Christians that for them maybe that's not a liberty. In some cases they're around Christians where it is a liberty, but in other cases they're not. They're just flaunting their liberties in a huge way. It's almost like bragging it. It's like telling not everybody, but almost everybody what your liberties are, and you're just waving it around and you're like, this is my liberty, I love it, I do it all the time. And we can't. We cannot be liberty flaunters. It doesn't mean that you need to be all secret about your liberties and pretend like they're not there and lie about it. No, not at all. But we cannot be like, oh yeah, that's my favorite TV show. I watch it all the time. What? You don't watch that? That's weird. Which, it sounds, I'm making it sound weird. But it's a common conversation that Christians have. What? You don't listen to that? What? You can't watch that? My family watches it all the time. That's weird. And at that point, you're flaunting your liberties. You are causing that Christian to stumble. So don't flaunt your liberties. Don't do it. And it takes time to learn how not to flaunt your liberties, but take the time to do it. And then, Second, do not invite other Christians to engage in your liberty. This is really common with movies. You know, you'll have friends over and you're like, hey, let's watch this. And like, most of your friends aren't allowed to watch it, but you're still gonna watch it with them. No, never invite a Christian to engage in your liberty unless you are 100% sure that they have that liberty. 100% sure. And the way to be sure is if they talk to you about it, apart from you asking about it, which often is not gonna happen. So if you know it's your liberty and you're not sure it's theirs, don't invite them to do it with you. Don't invite them to listen to that music with you. Don't be like, hey, check out these new beats from Justin Bieber, unless you know that they also have Bieber fever too. This is very important. Bieber fever. You can only share it with people that have it, I promise. Yeah. So, don't invite other Christians to engage in your liberties. And then finally, and this is what Paul says, if you don't flaunt your liberty, if you don't invite other Christians to engage in your liberty, and still it's causing Christians to stumble, then Paul says, don't do it. It is not worth your liberty. It's not worth that cartoon or that music or that TV show to cause another Christian's eternity to be wavered. No, it's not worth it at all. Do not do it. Paul says, if my eating meat is going to cause somebody to stumble, I'm going vegetarian, which is huge. I don't know if I could do that. I like meat. But if it's causing another Christian to sin, Paul says, you need to stop eating it. You need to stop watching it. If that is how far it has to go to keep that Christian from being stumbled. So the main point to take away is that stumbling other Christians, though it can be very easily done, it's a huge thing. It is a sin if your liberty is causing another Christian to stumble. And therefore, it's no longer your liberty. Like we looked at the first week, if your liberty is causing you to sin, so if your liberty is stumbling other Christians because that is a sin, it's no longer your liberty. It's not your liberty. You don't have the freedom to practice it. So as we close, the question that can be asked is, why should I even care about another Christian? If they're struggling with maturity, if they're kind of further along in me or not as far along as me in their walk with God, why should I care? Why can't I just do me and you do you? And this is what we hear so much in our culture, because we live in an individualistic culture. What that means is it's all about you. If people around you are having a hard time, make sure you get through it. But that is not Christianity. It's not what Jesus displayed, and it's not what Jesus called us to. So the reason you should care if you're stumbling other Christians is because of grace, because of the grace that Jesus showed us. Because he looked down and said, that Christian or that person who's not yet a Christian is having a hard time getting through life, will not make it into eternity because of their sin, even then, I'm going to give my life for them, live for them, die for them, so that they could have an opportunity to experience eternity, to experience a relationship with God. And that grace that Jesus had, that love that Jesus had, we should have for other Christians. We should not want anything that we do on this planet Earth to cause another Christian to stumble, to cause another Christian to be tempted or to be offended because of grace. Because we should want not only the best for us in our eternal state, but the best for every Christian around us, because that's the love that Jesus called us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be your people, to be your children, and to be able to be that family under you, Lord. And we pray that we would love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And one of the most foundational ways to display that love is in not stumbling our brothers and sisters. So teach us how to do that. Show us how to not flaunt our liberties. Show us how to keep from inviting other Christians to engage in our liberties. And show us if it's necessary to stop a liberty because it's stumbling other Christians around us. We love you so much, and we are so thankful for the grace that you displayed to us, and we pray that you would help us display that grace to the Christians that are around us. We give you the rest of this week. We pray that you'd go before us. Teach us more about liberties as we continue this theme in 1 Corinthians. And be the center of our hearts, we pray. All this in your name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Hey, to the men, y'all are good to go. They got out early down there.